Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this October 14th, 2022. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. It is 10:04 on the clock. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Colton Hutchinson, Water Resource Specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We're going to talk about Science by the River 2022 coming up this weekend. Right now, we have with us Jacob Wagner, Public Health Strategist from the Wood County Health Department. Good morning, Jacob.
Morning, James.
Thank you for being here. It's good to see you again, man. How have you been?
I've been good.
Good. Good to hear. Very good to hear.
Getting cold out. We got some flurries this morning. So.
Yeah. We understand and know how busy our health department has been, especially in the last couple of years. It's not as if there is a downtime for you guys, and there's not enough opportunities for us to say it in person. Thank you. Thank you to the whole staff over there. Everybody over there, please send that to them and wish them a good weekend for all of us here. Big fans, big friends of ours around here, our Wood County Health Department.
Yeah, they love you at the health department.
They're good people. And we're here to talk about something good, too, the Drug Take-Back Day, which is coming up on the 29th of this month, Jacob. So I always like to treat these topics because it usually is a year in between when we get to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. Let us treat this subject like the audience had never heard of this before. You know, let's touch on this like so they don't know what exactly Drug Take-Back Day is.
Yeah, absolutely. So Drug Take-Back Day is it's actually a national event, so it's happening all over the U.S. Here in Wood County, we do it in at Saturday, October 29th. It's also held again in April. And what the Take-Back Day is, it's just an opportunity to kind of set up destinations for people to bring back unused prescriptions and medications. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get people to understand to dispose of these medications and prescriptions properly so that when they're not going in the toilet, they're not going in the trash, we're trying to get these out of the environment. Because even when you throw it in the trash, you think it's not making its way to the water. It does. And, you know, we don't need this kind of unnecessary chemicals in our environment, in our drinking water. So what the take-back event is if you've got some medications that are expired, you know, you're no longer using them, you don't know what to do with them, don't just throw them in the trash. Don't just dump them in the toilet. Bring them to this take-back event and help us collect these things and get them out of the environment so they can be disposed of properly.
It's interesting, Jacob, because there's two areas I want to touch on with this part of the topic. One actually was something that we were talking about the whole hour yesterday during Morning Magazine. We had Representative Katrina Shanklin in. We were talking about water quality in the state and the new grant that there is to help people with water quality. Mm-hmm. This has been an issue for as long as I've been in this state. It's been an issue, and it's been an issue in the Midwest. We hear about what's going on in Detroit and those things.
Yeah.
So if you tell me, hey, this is something we could do to help preserve our water, seems like a pretty good thing. You know, hey, water is important. A shock. I hope everybody was sitting down when I said that. Water is necessary. This seems like a good thing. There's that part of it, certainly. And that is not, I don't look at this as a 1-2 kind of thing, one more 1A, 1B. 1B is that, is certainly taking care of our water, helping our all the things going forward to try to keep our water clean. This stuff will help that. Maybe more importantly, and maybe this is to me as somebody who grew up in an addictive household, the idea of young people getting these things, the idea of these getting in the wrong hands, even going into the hands of other adults, this is one of those topics that for too long we talked about it like this, and we talked about addiction like this, and we talked about drugs like this, and not in 2022, not going forward. Mm-hmm. This is one of those things that we bring awareness to these things. One, to certainly bring down the numbers of drug dealing and the influence that can have on communities and everything, but maybe more importantly, what the overdoses and the ways that these drugs can affect young people, especially young people. I don't make lightly of it getting into the wrong hands of adults or anything, but I'm thinking of kids.
Yep.
And as somebody who's seen this happen a number of times growing up, there's no, like, they weren't even my kids. I was their age when I saw kids overdosing and these things and stuff. And I'm so lucky. One of my friends growing up who got into some stuff he shouldn't have in his parents' stuff. That they came and they got him and he was okay and he survived. But it was one of the freakiest things I've ever seen in my life. And I grew up seeing freaky stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was still one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. This stuff happens almost every day. And it's too often. If it happened once a millennia, it'd be too much.
Yeah.
Let alone how often it happens.
Yeah, and I think there's just kind of this, like, not my kids. But even when I was a kid, you know, seeing, you know, my friends say, hey, this is my mom's prescription or my grandma's prescription, and oh, they don't need it anymore, this thing, no one wants this thing anymore, you know, I heard this thing can get you high, you know, we should try this thing. So you don't realize what it's doing just sitting there. And at the health department, we have lock boxes, so we really push that, you know, lock these medications away, don't make them easily accessible. If they're a controlled substance, you know, if we're talking about Oxycontin, hydrocodone, you know, really focusing on the opioids right now because of the overdoses, but, you know, even benzodiazepine, stuff like that, any substance that someone could seek to experiment with, or someone that may be dependent, maybe has a substance abuse disorder that may be seeking these things. But then also, like you mentioned, just even accidentally, you know, what is this thing? Let me take it. That's huge. I mean, just to be aware that these things, you could even think to yourself, well, that's not going to happen in my household, but it could be an accident. You know, it could not be something. I mean, someone could take a medication and then not realize it, and then, you know, and then take the same medication again later. It even goes into what I want to talk about with you later about the overdose prevention, which is that we really push overdose, you know, harm reduction, you know, ways to save people's lives, and it always comes across as, well, you know, we're supporting substance use, but really what we're doing is we're trying to give people this chance to live the best life possible. And it's not always even that situation. It's not always someone that's dependent. It could be someone that's experimenting, a teenager that's experimenting, or, you know, and this happens all the time, accidentally, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to jump right in that we have naloxone at the health department. There's a brand new naloxone pickup box in the health department, the Riverblock building now. And I can go more into that later, but it really is important to understand that it's not just about disposing of it for the environment, because as I understand the process, we're not fully able to eliminate these chemicals from the water. So, like you said, getting these things to the proper hands that are actually able to dispose of these, incinerate these in a way that doesn't affect our environment at all, is really important. But then the other aspect, like you said, preventing that experimenting, the accidental use, or someone that may be seeking, get these things out, get them properly disposed of, and then just kind of wash your hands of it.
So we've told people that, hey, you gotta get rid of these things properly. There's a proper way to do it. Now let's tell them the proper way to do it.
That's right. Awesome. So there are permanent disposal sites. So it's not just twice a year you can get rid of these things. So don't panic if you can't make it. Most pharmacies will have a box that you can put them in, a drop-off box. Police departments will usually have a drop-off box. But this Saturday, October 29th, and I'll just list the locations here, Marshfield City Hall from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Nakusa Piggly Wiggly from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., Pittsville Police Department from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., Port Edwards Fire Department, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Town of Rome Police Department, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and the Wisconsin Rapids Pick and Save from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if you need further kind of questions about that as well, reach out to the health department, 715-421-8911. We'll be able to help you out, because if not even permanent disposal, if you're not able to make it, I could assist you with doTERRA packets, which are basically like a charcoal that you shake the pills in, and it really breaks down and neutralizes that chemical. So even when you throw that away, the chemicals aren't going into the environment. So
I haven't heard of that. That's really cool.
Those are free. We have those at the health department. Please get a hold of me. We also have mail-in bags. So for people that maybe it's not as easy for them to get out and get to these events or get to a permanent disposal site, reach out to health department. We also have mail-in bags, so you can put them in there and you just mail them in to be incinerated. And then we also have the permanent disposal sites. And like I said, again, at the health department, we also have the lock boxes too. So even if you don't have any to dispose of and you have maybe some controlled substances that may be seeked out for accidental, experimental, or someone that may be dependent, reach out. They're completely free. No follow-up or anything, so just reach out.
Yeah, it's not about trying to nab somebody or get somebody in trouble. We're trying to prevent death. We're trying to prevent overdoses and these things. That's the concern, not making a quota or something like that. I've heard over the years of the pushback on some of this when it comes to this day and this topic, and every little bit I've heard, there's a rational answer to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Police officers are busy enough, okay? They're not trying to add more work onto their schedule here. They're not trying to make their job easier or anything like that. This isn't a TV show. It's not a movie or anything. Yep. This is real life. And they're 99.9% of people that wear that badge and that take that job are doing it because they want to help people. They want to take care of people. They want to protect people. This is another form of protection. This is another form of that. It's hopefully getting ahead of the protection. It's getting away, stopping this, cutting it off at the pass before it becomes an issue or becomes a problem. It gets stuck in our water. It ends up in our garbages and somebody comes across it or what have you. And there is another thing that gets pushed back sometimes too. Well, that's a hassle. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is a little bit of a hassle. Too bad. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's the responsibility you have as an adult, as somebody who lives in our society, and also somebody who's taking medications. Yep. Medications are a good thing. Medications are there for a reason. They help heal people and everything, but that comes with a responsibility of how much to take, when to take it, not driving while taking it, these things, as well as how you get rid of it.
Yeah.
This is the society we live in. I'm sorry if it's a hassle for you or something. We're trying to save lives here. I'm sorry you're, have an inconvenience or anything. Get over it and help us save some lives here. Yeah. And that's me talking, nobody else. I'm not speaking for anybody else here. I'm just a little frustrated when I hear people that don't want to be inconvenienced for 5 minutes or 10 minutes when we're talking about saving lives.
Right, and when I have a friend say that to me, I always kind of turn it back on. I'm like, well, then be selfish about it. This is about you. This is about your water. It's about your environment. This is about your health. And you may not care and you may not have prescriptions, but if you tell your friend, hey, please don't just dump these on the trash. Please don't just put these in the toilet. Take these into the disposal site. I'll help you. We go back to this take back event. We'll get a cup of coffee and go to this thing. Turn it into something where it's like, well, I don't want this in my drinking water. So what can I do to help? That's just the way that I see it. And
well done. That's very well done. Yes. And I imagine you guys have had to get really good at those things, at those conversations. You hear it a lot more than I do, I imagine. There are some options of ways to do this. We've told them where they can drop these things off, but there's different forms of medication, different types. What are the options of dropping off the unused and expired medications?
Let me tell you what's accepted and unaccepted here.
Yeah, good idea. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I know when you bring it in, you don't you want to make sure that your personal information's off. So if you want to black it out or peel off the label, I know that the bottles do get disposed of properly so that information won't go out, but just for your safety, if you want to make sure the information's not on those bottles, but, usually, you'll have it separated out between the pills and the bottles, but I've gone to these things, I've taken medication, these things, the officers will just open it, dump it in one box and put the empty bottle in another. But, what's accepted is prescriptions, any prescriptions, whether they're controlled, so your hydrocodone or your Tylenol, it doesn't matter if it's controlled or uncontrolled, over-the-counter medications, creams must be in original packaging, they accept inhalers, non-aerosol sprays, liquids must also be in original packaging, ointments, patches, pet medications, I hear this one a lot, they do take pet medications, so that's usually what I'm returning. And then vials as well. Now, I know they do accept, this is not on my list here, but I know they do accept vapes now as long as the battery can detach. So they don't want the battery. They can't dispose of that battery for reasons. But they do not accept aerosol cans, biohazardous materials, so that's body fluid, blood, household hazardous waste, paints, pesticides, oils, gas. Legal drugs. I know there is a way to properly dispose of legal drugs without repercussions. And if you want to reach out to me, I can help you out more with that. Needles and sharps. There is proper ways to dispose of that as well in the community. I can help you out with that as well. Mercury thermometers and personal care products, shampoo, lotions, and sunscreen, right? And if you have questions about any of this, reach out to me at the health department, 715-421-8907.
Jacob, you and I were touching on this a little bit in the pregame, sort of.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that people understand as well that there are resources available for them out there. We don't have to get in the numbers or specifics here or anything, but I think that if you've been paying attention to the news for the past year or two, you've heard the term fentanyl. You've heard of fentanyl. I don't think people understand necessarily what fentanyl completely is.
Yeah.
And I think understanding something is going to help you be able to keep an eye out for it more and understanding what it is. Part of the issue that we have with some of these more dangerous, these topics that can get really muddy or lose sight of is when we, I think of when I was a kid and they told us to worry about the scary guy in the trench coat under the light. And he was the one that was going to try to abuse us and sell us drugs and all these things.
Right.
And they never told us about, you know, watching out for family members or the kid babysitting us or something like that.
Yeah.
And a generation of kids grew up not keeping an eye out for that kind of thing. It's similar to that with me with the modern, if you will, drugs. As it seems like every, I mean, there were bath salts a while ago, there was this, and then there's a new one now, and now we've got fentanyl to worry about. What is fentanyl, and why is it so dangerous?
Yeah. So we'll just go very broad here. So when we think about overdoses, it can happen with a lot of different substances, but the main substance we see overdoses is opioids. So opioids are downers, and what we think of opioids, we think about heroin, hydrocodone, oxycontin, and what they do is they slow down your breathing, and eventually they can cut off that signal to the brain that will just make you stop breathing altogether. And what fentanyl is if you take the most powerful opioid that you've heard of or have ever, you know, back in the day we were talking about oxycontin, about just the push, the problem that oxycontin was creating. You take that, you increase it about 30 times, you know, per weight, and you've got fentanyl. So it's just this intense, intense opioid. So they were able to, you know, synthetically make something that was so powerful that just even the tiniest, I've seen representations of, you know, how much oxycontin compared to fentanyl. It's just this tiny little speck compared to a handful of pills. So it's just this super powerful opioid that is, it was invented for people that were dying of cancer in patches, and they have, it's kind of found its way into the streets. And so what we're seeing now is fentanyl laced products. So somebody will maybe get a pill that they've been told is a Xanax or some sort of an upper maybe, and then they don't realize that someone's put the tiniest speck of fentanyl in it, which someone may not even realize how harmful that is. But mixing a substance, any other substance, with opioid already increases your chance for an overdose. Opioids in general can create that overdose, but then you take this powerful opioid such as fentanyl, and your chances of overdosing are very, very high.
Let's go back in time. Let's go back to ninth grade science, where we had the chemistry, our science teacher and stuff, and they said, this product and this product go together, and they make this happen, a color change. This product and this product goes together, and boom, blows up, and we all got excited by it and everything. It's chemistry, people. That's what we're talking about here when we're talking about fentanyl or opioids or any of this stuff. These are man-made drugs. And when we're talking about man-made drugs, throw the book out. Because, I mean, there is anything that is possible with something like that. And this is why this stuff is so important. Well, this is why you don't just accept things from, you know, your friends or somebody like that. You take things from a medical professional.
Yeah.
I will never get used to, in the last couple of years, having to say this over and over again. Trust people who went to school for this. If your car needs to be worked on, you don't take it to me, a radio announcer. I'm not going to be able to help you that much. You take it to a mechanic.
Yeah.
If you have an issue with these things, or if you need medications, go to a doctor.
Yeah.
Don't go to Uncle Joe down the street or whatever, any of these things. I mean, trusting the people that know what they're doing.
And it's scary. I mean, we have heard stories about it even on, you know, like marijuana. So, and people say, well, not my kids, this won't happen. But, you know, if you take something that you don't even really know what it is, you're told it's one thing and it's been sprayed or has been fentanyl inside of it, then all of a sudden you're dealing with the situation. At the health department, we want people to be prepared for that situation. So, yes, we want to educate. Yes, we want people to avoid these things. But we know these things happen. That's why we have Narcan. We have Naloxone. It is a life-saving option. It is a nasal spray that you give someone. It removes blocks the opioid receptors to the brain. So it can re-get that signal that tells the body, we need to breathe. You know, we need to breathe again. We need to come back. And people say, well, I don't need that. It doesn't happen. Well, you know, what happens if your 8-year-old accidentally takes one of these pills and you need it. So, you know, everyone could use one to help somebody out. It's really important to us. Fentanyl testing strips have now become legal in Wisconsin. They were considered paraphernalia before, but now they see the harm reduction, the life-saving value. So to be able for somebody that is in that situation, that is experimenting, that is, you know, dependent, to say to themselves, well, I think this is one thing, I want to make sure it's not another, to test that product. And from what we've heard from people, from the reports from Vivint Health and Wausau that is distributing these fentanyl test strips, talking about how people will call somebody and say, hey, you know, I tested this, it has fentanyl in it, I'm afraid of an overdose, will you sit with me? Because the thing about Narcan and naloxone that, it, you know, we wish we could change is that it can't be used alone. You can't use it on yourself. If you overdose, you can't, this can't be a secret thing. You can't be like, I'm going to do this alone. We don't want someone to use this alone. And so for someone to test something with fentanyl, and we would hope that they would say, well, there's fentanyl on this, I don't want anything to do with it. But for someone to say, there is fentanyl on this, I am going to do this, I want someone to be here with me in case I overdose, to save that life, to give someone that other chance, you know, to live their life, to have the best quality life possible, is what we want.
You know, you mentioned this term or this phrase a couple of times, and I know that a lot of our listeners, I myself have thought of it too. Well, oh, it'll never happen to me, or oh, not my kid. And I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sure you realize this, but if you need somebody to remind you, every one of these families that have experienced this and have had to go through this started out that way. It's not our family. It's not, maybe even worse, a lot of these families were prepared. We're doing all the things that it takes, and sometimes still things can happen. Things can slip through the cracks. And that's even when you are trying to do everything right. So it can happen. It can happen to anybody, and we don't want it to happen to you. And it's why we have these days. It's why we have people like Jacob here on the air with us, and that we don't want it to happen to you. I do want to say one quick thing, Jacob, if you don't mind, because this is something I've heard from the audience and heard from others, too, when it comes to the Narcan or any of that kind of thing. Why do I care about an addict? They are a grown adult. They did that to themselves. They deserve that. And as somebody who was raised by an addict and grew up around addicts, I will be the first to admit that you're absolutely right. But those, every one of those addicts have got kids or a kid or someone that loves them, that don't deserve to lose them, that doesn't deserve. My dad is a outlier. He is gonna probably pass away, you know, at old age or something like that, or probably trying to play hockey when he shouldn't or something like at 90. My father was a heroin addict for the majority of my life. It's only been in the last 19, 20 years that he hasn't been. His story is supposed to end with him in jail or overdosing. Instead, he's helping my sister with her kids. He is he goes around and does speeches from time to time about addiction. I can't imagine how many people he's helped out that are strangers, let alone my own family, my kids, and the experiences they've had with him. I'm so proud and so thankful that he's still here to be able to make that impact, be able to do some good. He's not alone. He's not the only one. I understand there's not a whole lot of that, but there would be more of it if we had more opportunities for it. Most people that get addicted don't choose to be addicted. Nobody woke up in the morning and said, I want to be a drug addict. It's a chemical imbalance. It's something that you have to take personal responsibility for. I am not saying that they don't, you know, that is not the case. You commit, you break a law, you got to do some time. Yeah. You do something wrong, you got to take accountability for it. That doesn't mean in our society, that does not mean, though, that, well, you messed up once, now you're done. Now we're done with you. America loves maybe more than baseball and apple pie. What do we love? A comeback story. Let's have that here. Let's give people that opportunity. If they try and fail, if they try and fail over and over and over again, then that's where these things, jail and this stuff, comes up. But my God, if we're in a society where we're just going to give you one shot and that's it, a lot of us are going away. lot of us, and a lot of people out there that may not think they are. I mean, it's one of those scenarios.
Yeah.
We touched on a number of things here, Jacob. I really want to make sure to hit on the date, the time, and the locations. Do you mind if we go over those one more time?
Yeah. Saturday, October 29th, the Marshfield City Hall, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Nakusa Piggly Wiggly, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pittsville Police Department, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Port Edwards Fire Department, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Town of Rome Police Department, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Wisconsin Rapids Pick and Save, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, you can contact the Health Department, 715-421-8911. And yeah, absolutely, James. I grew up, I have a brother that is an addict, and the stigma around it, nobody wants to overdose. I don't think anyone ever intends that. Addiction is a disease. I know it's not a popular opinion, but if someone had diabetes, we would do anything we could to give them another chance to fight and live the best life possible. These people, they want to be there. They have a problem that they need help with, and you know, if they overdose and they die, that's the end of the story. We want to see what these people, we want to give them that comeback to come back and help people like they can do.
Well said, Jacob. We mentioned as well that outside of this date, there are other options to be able to get rid of these, and certainly there is a permanent drop location. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention that one more time, too, if you don't mind.
Yep. The permanent drop-off locations are going to be located at the police departments will have drop-off boxes, and pharmacies will have drop-off boxes as well. If you need additional resources on that, we have doTERRA packets, we have mail-in bags. Just contact the health department. We can help you out with whatever you need.
If you need more information, you can also go to their website. It's fantastic, co.wood.wi.us. That is co.wood.wi.us. Jacob, again, say hi to everybody over there for us. You guys are doing some incredible work in our community. You're saving lives, literally. We appreciate you. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, you too, James. Thanks a lot.
We'll come back with another half hour Morning Magazine. We're going to talk to Colton Hutchinson, water resource specialist, about science by the river, coming up on Morning Magazine here at WFHR.